Hello, Catskills. Welcome to the Watershed Post Half Hour News Hour.
I'm Julia Reichel.
I'm Lissa Harris.
The Watershed Post is a news hub, a bracing antidote to the idea that nothing ever happens around here in the Catskills.
And here's what we've got for you today.
We're delighted to have two guests in the studio for our show today, Christina Eliopoulos, the director of the documentary Demon on Wheels, and her subject, Margaretville outlaw mechanic and daredevil Mike Ondish, who is resurrecting his 1968 Shelby Mustang and returning it to its past racing glory in the film. Mike and Christina will talk about the movie, which they describe as a love letter to the Catskills.
But first, this week's headlines.
The New York State Department of Environmental Conservation is expanding its antler restriction program for deer hunting throughout the Catskills this year. The idea is to allow more young bucks to grow into big, mature deer before they're killed during hunting season. But the program requires that bucks with what are called spike antlers, with fewer than 3 points, not be taken during the harvest. And some hunters aren't really into that kind of restriction, although many, in the Catskills especially, are. The DEC conducted a survey of hunter attitudes in 2010 and found that while hunters supported protecting young bucks, some want freedom to bag whatever buck they choose. So the DEC's solution to this regulatory challenge is to keep the antler restrictions in the Catskills this year and expand them to some neighboring wildlife management units in counties surrounding the Catskills next year. But the rest of the state isn't going to see antler restrictions anytime soon. Bow hunting season in the Catskills for deer began on October 15th, and the regular hunting season begins on November 19th. So we'll see what hunters think this time around.
From deer to Phoenicia sewers. The Phoenicia sewer system has been a perennial topic in the town of Shandaken for many years. A new plan for the sewer system was unveiled last week by the CWC and Lamont Engineers.
What's the CWC?
The Catskill Watershed Corporation, which is funded mostly by funds from the New York City Department of Environmental Protection under a 1997 agreement, which I could bore you all day.
Yeah,
all right.
I didn't mean to get that kind of an answer.
Anyway, they have they're charged with spending the city's money, basically, and the city wants this thing built. At a cost of $15.8 million and with 127 hookups serving 194 businesses and households, the sewer system that's planned currently is smaller and cheaper than the one that was proposed and rejected by Phoenicia voters in 2007. But Phoenicia is getting a lot less bang for its buck. About half the households and businesses that were in the 2007 plan won't be hooked up in the current plan because the cost of building these things has gone up since then. The CWC and Lamont Engineers have essentially decided to build as much system as they can squeeze out of what's left of a $17 million grant from New York City that was set aside years ago to build the plant. Whether skeptical residents of the hamlet will give the plan the green light remains to be seen.
The sewer troubles of Phoenicia come up every year.
They are perennial.
We will continue talking about them, I'm sure, for years to come. A man died while hiking on the escarpment trail in the town of Hunter over the weekend. State police reported late on Monday that the hiker was 51-year-old Paul Dodway of Clifton Park, whose body was found in the North-South State Park Trail System. Dodway was reported missing by his family after he failed to return from hiking over the weekend, and his body was found by a fellow hiker on midday Monday. An autopsy conducted on Tuesday night at Albany Medical Center concluded that Dodway died of natural causes.
Also, someone who passed away recently, Barry Feinstein, a longtime Woodstock resident who took many iconic photographs of rock stars in the 60s and 70s, including some of the young Bob Dylan that ended up on album covers, died early on Thursday, October 20th, at the age of 80.
In Windham, a 27-year-old man was arrested for assaulting two other men on Sunday. Edward A. Russell allegedly fired a shotgun inside a residence on Mitchell Hollow Road, and the shot hit a 53-year-old man in the face. Police say that Russell then allegedly attacked another man with an ice pick.
Speaking of shotguns and ice picks, we didn't see any of those at our candidates forum this week.
Nice segue.
Any of our candidates forums, which we were very pleased about. They were very civil affairs. We covered three different candidates forums in as many days. One in Olive, one in Andes, those two we sponsored, and one in the town of Middletown that was sponsored by the Catskill Mountain News and broadcast here on WIOX. All three debates had large turnouts, which we were heartened by. Go civic participation. And there will be more. The Watershed Post is sponsoring a debate between the two town supervisor candidates in Woodstock this Friday at 7 p.m. at the Town Community Center. And there will be a forum of candidates that are running for office in Shandaken at 1 p.m. on Saturday at the Town Hall.
Be there or be uninformed about your civic duty. That's it for our top stories around the Catskills this week.
Demon on Wheels, a full-length documentary film that has been shooting in the Catskills for the past year, is an homage to local mechanic Mike Ondish and his 1968 Shelby Mustang. We have both the director of the film, Christina Eliopoulos, and Mike Ondish himself, which probably some of our listeners may know Mike personally. We have both of them today here as guests in the studio to talk about the movie and about Ondish's days as a Ridge Rider in the Catskills of the 1960s. Christina and Mike, thank you so much for joining us.
We are thrilled to be here.
Before we get started, I want to play a clip from the film itself. The movie follows Ondish as he reunites his old rum-running crew and rebuilds the Mustang, which has been retired for years in his garage. In this clip, we hear Ondish and his wife uncovering the car from its long years of storage.
God, I can't believe we left you in here. Don't look too bad from where inside, but boy, we got a lot of prettying up to do. We will. We've been through too much together. I can't forget you.
Time to get her out.
All right, you steer it. Just be by the brake pedal. Runs quiet. This thing used to sound like thunder. It's going to sound like it again.
Getting in?
You betcha. Still feels the same getting in.
I don't know. You don't fit so well anymore.
I know. I ain't 165 pounds as it was then. We'll figure that out. Okay. Get on the dirty old clothes. And
get to work.
Get to work. Gonna take a lot of money, a lot of time.
That was Mike Ondish and his wife uncovering a 1968 Shelby Mustang that had been scuttled for years in Mike's garage. And we're talking with Mike Ondish, who's the star of Demon on Wheels, a film directed by Christina Eliopoulos. They're both in the studio with us today. Guys, first question, what exactly is a Shelby Mustang?
Well, it's a Mustang that Carroll Shelby is. He used to buy them from Ford Motor Company, and then he would take them to his facilities and add a lot of his expertise to them to make them run faster and handle better. There's just a few of them made. He's still making them. There for a while he did stop making them, but he's back at it again. And I was working for Ford Motor Company at the time when I picked mine up in 1968.
So is it stronger than your average Mustang? Does it have a bigger engine? What's special about it?
Oh, yeah. He made a pretty good deal with Ford, and Shelby was a fellow that, a big racing nut. He used to race all over the world, and he kind of got into a little bit of kiff with Enzino Ferrari, and he wanted to make his own race team, and he picked up Ford, and he went with Ford, and he started to race these cars on a track as a stock vehicle. They had to sell a certain amount of them. I think it was around 500 of them a year. So he made a deal with Ford with the Mustang to take the Mustang, make a specialized vehicle out of it, still being a Ford, but with Shelby's expertise, and he hopped up the engines quite a bit more, made them handle a little bit better braking system, and basically it wasn't a grocery getter anymore. It was just to get her down the road and how fast you could get to the grocery market, basically.
Christina, this is Christina Eliopoulos, the director of Demon on Wheels. Tell us a little bit about how you got into doing this film, how you met Mike, what brought you to be this part of the Catskills, to be covering this story and doing this.
I had been working on and off with a very gifted cinematographer named George Weezer, who's a Roxbury resident. And George and I had just completed a documentary short. And so George calls me up and he says, "I think I found your next documentary." So he kidnapped me, basically threw me in a car, didn't tell me where we were going. I knew we were going somewhere in Catskills. And on the drive up, I kept asking him, like, what is this about? What is it about? What is it about? And I first thought that maybe we were chasing a ghost story, or maybe we were doing something about, you know, Catskill legends and Catskill lore. But he goes, you won't believe this until you see it, and you have to see it. So we pull up to Mike Ondish's garage. And we pull up, and immediately it strikes me that it was kind of part automotive museum, part graveyard, part factory. It was just a visual feast. And then I met Mike. And once Mike started telling me about his background and the relationships he's had his whole life and these friends, lifelong friends, who've been by his side, and the antics that these guys, the stuff they used to get away with in this car, I was hooked. I was absolutely hooked. And before we left off, before we got out of the driveway, I said, I'm making this film. I don't care how we do it. We're going to make this film. That's the story.
So, Mike, can you talk a little bit about what you did used to get up to in that car back in the old days, you and your friends?
Well, it's kind of a special car. We didn't realize it at the time when I got it. In fact, when I first got the car, a boss of mine down there, his name was Jim Ryan, that worked for Ford Motor Company. He was big into racing, and he said, "Why don't we get one of these Shelby cars?" And I wasn't too aware of them at the time, and Carroll Shelby wasn't really a big name then. And I said, "Well, we might just as well." And so we got this car, and when I first received it, it was all engine, but there was no interior into it. And it lacked headlights, it lacked a few things, and I figured I got stuck with this thing. So, excuse me, I said to Jim, I says, "We can't put this car in the road. I only got part of it here." So, make a long story short, we ended up getting one of five. We think it's one of five Trans Am racers that he had made. And Jim had done some paperwork and got some parts off the line up in Mahwah, and we finished the car up so we could put it on the road. And it would run. I enjoyed, in fact, racing anything that would get alongside of it. Didn't matter what it was. And it would run. I mean, it really wanted to go. Just like I stated once before, it's like a newborn colt. It just wanted to go.
And it developed quite the reputation among local, let's say, amateur racers, didn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it got to be a kind of a legend in its own time after a period of time. And after a while, I actually paid for it on the street by running for $50, $100 bills and stuff of that nature. And nothing ever really got by it, and I got to be quite used to it. And in the film, which Christina seems to bring out more into things than you normally would think of, but I got thinking that this car was like a suit to me. I got to a point where it was so familiar, it was like my left hand. It was like wearing a suit. And the car was fast, and I got so I could handle it real good. And after a while, nobody wanted to race it. We couldn't get no more money from it. So I had to buy tires somehow. And so we used to go to other cities, and I got so nobody wanted to run it there. They'd all talk about running their own and the neighbor's car, but when it come to mind, it just stopped. That was it. It'd go in another direction. So one day we were sitting in the Andy's Hotel, and Eric Vimbensko was one of the guys that used to ride with me and Mike Harrington. And Eric got this bright idea, you know. He says, "State troopers." I said, "Yeah, what about them?" He says, "That's their job. They have to chase you." I said, "Yeah, and they got pretty hot cars." I said, "This ought to work out real good." So one night we kind of took them up on that. We kind of sat alongside the road. We waited and waited and waited quite a few hours. Finally, a trooper went by us. So we pulled up behind him. Of course, we wouldn't turn any lights on. and we would ride behind them and using their lights and going in their same direction. And I said, well, we'll see what this is all about. So we kind of on the first straightaway just pulled up alongside and slide real easy up alongside of them. And Eric, he'd reach over and he'd hit the horn button and I'd turn the lights off and we start boogieing. Off we'd go. And it would go the rest of the night. We were on a chase, just like a rabbit and hound.
Did they ever catch you?
No, not really. Sometimes we'd actually have to slow up and let them catch up to us a little bit so we can keep things rolling. Next day, they used to hand out a few summonses now and then. And I had a good family lawyer. I thought I was cooked at one time, the first time, in fact. And I went down, and he didn't seem to be... To me, the lawyer didn't seem to be doing his job too well. He wasn't too concerned over it, and I was quite concerned because I had summonses from failure to keep right, reckless endangerment, speeding, you know, everything. And I said, well, I'm going to jail. We got into court, and they started with all the stuff that I was doing wrong with the car. And the lawyer got up and he said, there's only one thing I've got to ask. He says, can anybody positively, 100%, identify this kid behind the wheel of that car? And of course, it was dark. It was night out. They couldn't do it. So I said, wow, this worked out pretty good. They threw it out. I said, now I know one thing. We're not going to be racing during the day. We're going to be doing it at night. And about... Every maybe two or three nights out of the week, we'd get after it.
We're talking with Mike Ondish. He's the star and subject of Demon on Wheels, which is a documentary about a very special Mustang, 1968 Mustang from Margaretville's 1960s heydays. I want to ask you guys about a scene in the cut, the 30-minute cut that I've seen of the movie right now. Where, Mike, you're cooking something over a campfire, and it's got sort of a lot of copper tubing attached to it, and I think it's supposed to make the car go. But my interpretation of this is that it's moonshine, and it goes into the car. Call me a city slicker, but I am totally amazed by this prospect. Tell me about it.
Well, you're right in one aspect. It is moonshine. I really didn't like to put it in the car, but we did use it. We did use it in the car. It was better in us than it was in the car. At least we thought that anyway. But when I got the vehicle, it had a little over 500 horsepower. And I used to race it down on 17 because that's where I was working at the time with Ford.
Seems like people are still racing up and down 17 today. So yeah, some things never change.
Yeah, I guess so. Not me though.
Yeah.
But there was a Hemi Cuda down there, and it was pretty tough. The Corvettes and that I had no too much problem with. But the Hemi Cuda, he was pretty tough. And I said to the boss, Jim, I said to him, I said, you know, it's just a matter of time. I said, this guy might nip me a little bit here. I said, we can't have that. We're Ford guys. And they said, yeah. Jim said, well, we'll take care of that. So we ordered up some specialty parts for the engine and set it to Mawa and had them go through it. We dynoed the car when we started out with a dynamometer, and what that does is tell the horsepower of it and torque. And this particular dynamometer is... the engine in the car and not onto a machine, so you gauge it at the back wheel, so it's more accurate. It's the actual horsepower of the car really moving down the road. And it had a little over 500 horsepower. It was like 530 horse, if I could remember. And when we got done, we dynoed it at between 6 and 7,000 RPM. It was up around 863 horse. Mm. And then I knew we had something. Now we got something. And that took care of the Hemi Cuda. But in the meantime, it was running like 14.3:1 compression, which is very high. And regular gasoline, and we were using 260 Sunoco with an iffy deal. So I was running naphthalene and alcohol with it. But we did, I always run it still to get generations of bootlegging on both sides of the family. And we always run that stuff. So we made our own alcohol. Some we drank, a lot of it we sold, and some went into the car because that was a stabilizer for between the naphthalene and the 260 Sunoco.
How much of this do you think you could get away with today?
Practically none. Bruce Sanford of Sanford's down there, that's where I get most of my parts and everything. And Bruce and I kind of grew up together. And he's quite a hot rodder himself. And in the film, he put it pretty plain. He says, everything that we did back then would be illegal today. And I tell a lot of the younger kids, because there is a lot more restrictions and there is a lot more stuff out there that we couldn't get away with this as easy. But I told a lot of them, I said, you know, it's guys like us that ruined it for you, because we had all the fun, and now they've clamped down on all that we had done. You're not going to get very far today with the stuff that we pulled.
Christina, we're talking with Christina Eliopoulos, the director of Demon on Wheels, a documentary about Mike Ondish, who you just heard speaking. Christina, you have a 30-minute cut of the film. I know it's going to be a full-length documentary at some point. What's your plan? I know you've been filming for a year. What do you need to complete the film, and what's the timeline?
We will continue filming over the rest of the fall into the winter. Our goal is to complete, to have a cut in hand pretty much a year from today. All documentary films are made this way in fits and spurts. Documentarians are known for two things: being really aggressive and always rattling the can. I need money. That's the way it is.
So you need money, right?
Did I say that?
Well, you said it was a typical thing, but are you actively fundraising for the film at the moment?
We're actively fundraising for the film. We're very, very, very fortunate that New York Women in Film and Television is our fiscal sponsor. They are an amazing organization. When you contribute to NYWIF, New York Women in Film and Television, you're contributing to Demon on Wheels. NYWIF takes some of the money and educates other women filmmakers, provides a variety of programming, advocates for women's rights, does preservation work for films made by women. And every penny that we raise goes back into the creation of the film. We're very proud that we have a lot of local talent here. We have gaffers, we have grips, we have sound men. We have lighting technicians. As I mentioned before, our cinematographer extraordinaire and our producer, George Weezer, is from Roxbury. We've assembled an amazing crew, a homegrown crew of incredible talent. And I'm loving every minute of this. And as I mentioned, it's my goal that a year from now we have a finished cut, and we'll send another clip to you guys at Watershed Post and WIOX to play.
We can't wait. The 30-minute clip is awesome. One of the best parts of it is, well, one of the fun parts of it is a reconstruction of 1960s era Margaretville, with hippie chicks, and it's awesome. It'll be really fun to see Margaretville through that lens. I thought it was pretty neat. We have time for one more question, and I'm going to direct it at Mike. Mike, why did you put the Mustang into storage, and why are you taking it back out now?
Well, there's a couple of reasons, really. Through all the hell raising and everything, of course, my mother and my father was too excited over this thing of me having that on the road, because they knew every night it was out that we weren't up to much good with it. And they were getting a little bit tired of the state troopers being on the doorsteps every day or so. And that was one reason. The other one was the gasoline. It just didn't have the bang it used to have, so to speak. There was no power into it. And with compression that the engine was running and everything that we were doing, it just didn't want to run anymore. Not like it did anyway. So a combination of things, and I was getting a little older, and some of the guys that got married and had kids, and it's just the same old thing, I guess. You just start getting older and start putting stuff away, and I just stuck it back there and kind of forgot about it. And it wasn't for Christina and these guys, I probably would never found out more about this car. I was going to get it out. We were going to rebuild it, and I called the guys up when the film started, and I told them we were making a film. They thought I was in the White Lightning too long, but they all showed up. They all come back. Some I haven't seen in over 30-some years, and they all come back, and we're having a lot of fun. We're having a ball with this thing, so.
That's great. We can't wait to see the finished product, so we'll be looking forward to that. Thank you so much, Mike and Christine, for joining
us
today.
Thank you.
And you're listening to the Watershed Post Half Hour News Hour on WIOX 91.3 FM.
We have a few events we want to tell you about. Tonight at 5 p.m., psychotherapist Thayer Case, the director of social work at Mountainside Residential Care Center and at the Margaretville Hospital as well, is giving a talk on trauma and recovery for storm victims at Mountainside tonight. There will be some food, and this is a subject that I think needs a lot more attention. So if you have some free time, stop on by.
Halloween is on Monday, and there are parades and parties in towns across the Catskills. Here are just a few spooky events that are happening this weekend. The Greene County Historical Society is hosting a reenactment of an early American funeral service this Saturday at 4 p.m. at the Bronc Museum in Coxsackie. That sounds a little different. Should be properly frightening. The Andes Hotel is hosting its annual costume party, the Harvest Moon Ball, at 7 p.m. in Andes on Saturday. That's become sort of an Andes tradition, so that should be a good time. There will be parades in Tannersville and Phoenicia on Sunday afternoon around 1 p.m. and many more Halloween events in other towns throughout the weekend and into Monday.
I should note that Liz is biased about the Andes Hotel Harvest Moon Ball.
Oh, I won the costume contest last year.
She was a robot.
I was a Dalek, anyway.
Let's not quibble about you were.
Let's not.
You won a prize. Also on Saturday, the Shandaken Theatrical Society will host the first of two glitzy fundraisers at 8 p.m. It's called Songs from the Silver Screen, and it will feature renowned jazz cabaret duo Ann Osmond and Dennis Ure, and Grammy-nominated writer-performer Robert Burke Warren, who we also know around here as Uncle Rock. They're going to be singing memorable movie music from many decades, and the funds all go to the Raise the Roof Fund at STS.
Even though it's Halloween, you still can't escape politics. As we mentioned earlier in the show, the Watershed Post is sponsoring two more candidates forums this week, one on Friday in Woodstock between town supervisor candidates at the community center at 7 p.m., and also on Saturday at 1 p.m., candidates for town offices in Shandaken will be at a forum at the town hall.
Finally, a quick plug for our sister station, Community Radio 90.7 WGXC. It's their pledge week, and you can donate to that awesome station at WGXC.org/donate.
These events and more in our This Weekend column, watershedpost.com/thisweekend.
Every week we bring you some hackneyed poetry by Watershed Post editor Lissa Harris.
This some weeks week, more hackneyed than others.
What are you writing about this week?
This week it's about the Phoenicia Sewer Project, because what else would you write poetry about this week? So without further ado, New York would like its water tap to carry less Phoenician crap. And to that end, those city schmucks once chipped in $17 million, a tidy number by the sound. But as Shandaken's council found, a dollar after some inflation doesn't buy as much filtration. Phoenicia is a lovely spot, worthy of its top 10 small town slot, but the little hamlet can't commit to cleaning up its household liquid waste products.
I see what you did there. That wraps up this week's edition of the Watershed Post Half Hour News Hour.
The Watershed Post Half Hour News Hour originates from the studios of WIOX 91.3 FM in Roxbury, New York. Our technical guru is Mike Teitelbaum. Our theme music is by Fred Harris of Aleph & Company in Delhi. The cheesy banter and hackneyed poetry are all ours. Please join us every Wednesday at 1 p.m. right here at WIOX 91.3 FM and at 3 p.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM.
WatershedPost.com, the source for news and information in the Catskills.